Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
History has often been a record of nations and tribes and, yes, religions subjugating one another in pursuit of their own interests. In this new age, such attitudes are self-defeating. Given our interdependence, any world order that elevates one nation or group of people over another will inevitably fail.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that
I don't know whether this guy is naive or even worse. I'm starting to get the feeling he's not that smart. This is one of the dumbest speeches I've ever heard in my life. Now, all of you lockstep Kool-Aid drinking liberals, pay attention to me because old Uncle Savage has a little question for you. Here's the question. If all nations are equal, according to Chairman Obama, and no nation should be held up above any other nation, where is Michelle Obama on this trip? Why didn't Michelle Obama go with her husband to the Middle East? He gave a speech to the Muslim world in Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and he said all nations are equal. Well, I'll ask the question again. Why did Michelle not accompany the president to Saudi Arabia and Egypt? Now, all you good liberals, pay attention because no one asked this question. You've heard the statement, the king has no clothes, but in this case, the king has no queen. And the reason Michelle Obama didn't go is because women are little more than chattel in these throwback nations. You see, in Saudi Arabia, women are forbidden to drive cars. They're not allowed to work alongside men. Saudi women are required to wear a full black cloak. Women may not testify in court unless it is a personal matter that didn't occur in the sight of men. Women cannot maintain separate bank accounts in Saudi Arabia without their husband's permission. And of course, you good liberals, women are not allowed to vote. So there couldn't be a Sotomayor in Saudi Arabia, which explains in part why Michelle didn't go to Saudi Arabia. As I said to you, women must completely cover their bodies in Saudi Arabia. And Michelle's propensity for sleeveless tops to exhibit her fine muscular physique would not have been permitted in the land of veils and burkas. And Chairman O didn't dare risking offending his majesty who gave him that bling, the king of Saudi Arabia, by bringing his uncovered wife to the land where the religion of peace started. He didn't dare bring her there and make her wear a veil and to expose the absurdity of a statement that all nations are equal. No, Mr. Obama, you're wrong. All nations are not equal. Some just plain stink. You see, Mr. Obama, some nations oppress women, not America. Some nations kill homosexuals, Iran. Some murder Christians, check it out. Shame on you for going there and kowtowing to the king. The fact of the matter is, we don't need their cooperation as much as we need our own initiative. And by the way, we don't need their criticism as much as we need our own righteous indignation. So Big Obama made a big mistake in Cairo by saying all nations are equal. He put it in another way. He said that any world order that elevates one nation, a group of people over another, will inevitably fail. With this single phrase, Chairman Obama threw away the idea of American exceptionalism. Now, where did the idea of American exceptionalism come from? It's a term coined by Alexis de Tocqueville. And American exceptionalism has given rise to the idea of the United States as a shining city upon a hill, where even a man of humble background and of mixed race can become president. That couldn't happen in Saudi Arabia, but it happened here. The United States is a shining city upon a hill. And I believe that America is an exceptional nation. And I believe that Obama is not an exceptional president. And I will make a prediction that before his tenure is over, he will be seen as a bumbler and will be wishing that George Bush was president again. Now let's go on to another exceptional story, which is Judge Sotomayor's appointment to the Supreme Court and her nomination process and how the libs are trying to spin it. Turns out that she didn't say wise Latina, being smarter than dumb whitey, once. She said it many, many times. She didn't use those words. She used other words, but she used them over and over again. She continuously referred to her idea that a wise Latina would make better rulings than someone without her experiences, meaning white men. It turns out today that because of her cultural background, she likes to eat pig intestines on warm bread, pig feet and beans, and pig tongue and ears. Now, I was trying to figure this out since I have a degree in nutrition. I wonder if this is the food that made her a wise Latina. Now, it's true that this is not the only culture that likes these parts of the animals. The Italians eat intestines. They call it something else. The Jews eat intestines. They call it stuffed kishka. So it's not unique to the culture that she comes from. As far as pig feet, I can't attest to that. I think the Italians eat that as well. Pig tongue, I've eaten beef tongue, and that could explain why I'm a wise man. I could be the tongue for all I know. The ears I could do without, and pig feet I could do without, but I have nothing against her eating pig parts, intestines, as I said, pig feet, pig tongue and ears. It's just odd to the American palate. But it's not so odd to some ethnic cuisines. But I was wondering if this has helped give her the wisdom that she claims she has. It could be. 1-800-449-8255. Can anyone answer why Michelle didn't go on this trip? You know the answer. I gave you the answer. Because she would have had to wear a burqa. And the fact of the matter is, he's a hypocrite to say that all nations are equal. Las Vegas, Terry, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi. I agree with you with 99% of the stuff you say. She didn't go because she's a good mom. That's the one thing.
Right. Oh, yes. She's a mom. She's not a first lady. Now she's a mom?
School's out.
Are you kidding yourself? Because you're not kidding me. She didn't go because she'd have to put on a burqa to go walk around in Saudi Arabia. Did you hear how women are treated over there?
Yes, I do. I understand it. It's totally not a good thing. But she
not a good thing? They can't even vote in Saudi Arabia. Let alone they can't walk with their faces exposed.
Well, I'm agreeing.
She didn't go because she would have had to wear a veil. What are you talking about, staying at home with the children? Now she's a good mom? Come on, wake up here to what's going on. You know, the king has no clothes, you heard. I think that was from Hans Christian Andersen, correct? Yeah, I think so. Sotomayor used wise Latina line more than once. It came out today she used her ethnicity and gender as a weapon in 84 separate speeches released by the White House yesterday. Come on, she used her race and her gender, her ethnicity and her gender, rather. Ethnicity and gender? Well, yeah, okay, ethnicity and gender rather than race and sex. Plain English, she used her race and her sex in 84 speeches. In other words, she used it as a weapon. Wherever she went, she kept referring to it in order to make people squirm with liberal guilt. Sotomayor is not qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. I don't believe that her experience, her ethnicity and gender make her a racist at all. Not at all. I truly don't believe that. She came from a poor background. She worked her way up. Affirmative action no doubt helped her. It didn't help me. But the fact of the matter is it worked against me. And I have a real grudge against those who've used affirmative action to step over more qualified people. But putting aside my own biases, this woman is absolutely unqualified to be a Supreme Court justice, because if she is going to use her emotions to shape her rulings, she is going to violate the rule of law. She does not belong on the Supreme Court. Not at all. 1-800-449-825. And I don't even want to talk about it. I mean, we covered it. You know, why cover it again? Obama's speech is such a disaster. It's one of the most disastrous speeches a president has ever given. Another mistake he made was he says, I am a Christian, but my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn and the fall of dusk. Now, I understand that because we talked about it during the campaign, and anyone who mentioned it during the campaign was a racist. Now, by mere fact that he's now saying he's part Muslim and that he has a middle name Hussein, that certainly doesn't make him a racist, but it makes you a racist if you say it. So while watering down America's great status in the world, Chairman Obama continues to try to elevate his own status to that of a universal healing man, the man who will save the world. His story, his Muslim background, his father from Kenya, his childhood in Indonesia. Somehow that's more important than the greatness of America. This is not only naive, this is not only pandering, this is outright stupid. I'll be right back.
Savage.
President who's an embarrassment, and he's starting to sound really like a kind of naive junior college professor who's so over his pay grade, it's incomprehensible. I want to remind you of something else. During the campaign, I told you, and I still allege, that Obama could not have passed an FBI background check to have become a Secret Service agent, and I stand by that statement. That is a news story that should be talked about. You may say, well, it's a moot point and it's too late. I'm not so sure about that. Because of his peripatetic background, there's a big word for you liberals, look it up, you know everything anyway. After all, you listen to NPR, so you must know everything. Because of his peripatetic background, he would have had gone through a real heavy-duty FBI background check, and he probably wouldn't have passed it, because there are some, you know, there are some issues out there. But let's put aside that issue. Let's talk about his speech, per se. The speech was a nightmare. No nation is better than any other nation. Now listen to how it conflicts with clip 20.
To this day, there are those who insist that the Holocaust never happened. A denial of fact and truth that is baseless and ignorant and hateful. This place is the ultimate rebuke to such thoughts. A reminder of our duty to confront those who would tell lies about our history. Also to this day, there are those who perpetuate every form of intolerance, racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, xenophobia, sexism, and more. Hatred that degrades its victims and diminishes us all.
He's right about that, and he's talking about Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has a state policy of racism. It has a state policy of anti-Semitism. It has a state policy of homophobia. It has a state policy of sexism. It has a state policy of xenophobia. And hatred. He's right about that. Iran also exemplifies what Obama was talking about. But let's go back to the fact that he visited a country that practices racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, sexism, xenophobia, and that's why his wife didn't accompany him. You know, this is a major story, and I'm going to make a prediction since my show is so listened to by everybody in the government, even though you don't read about it. Everyone in the media listens to this show, even though they pretend they don't. They bounce their own ideas off me to see what we're really thinking because they know that this is a thinking audience, despite how they try to mock you. The fact of the matter is, I'm going to ask the question again. Why did Michelle Obama not accompany President Obama to Saudi Arabia and Egypt? Because in Saudi Arabia, women are third-class citizens, as I have told you. She would have had to wear a veil. She would have had to wear a burqa. She would have been a nobody, a non-person. Now you say, your caller comes in and says, she's a stay-at-home mom. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard because she's going to France. She's there already to accompany him in France on the D-Day thing. Memorial, tomorrow. There's nothing to do with stay-at-home. And by the way, she fired her chief of staff yesterday. That's interesting. This is an interesting subtext and a little intrigue here. While he was away, she fired the woman chief of staff who apparently had met Obama on the campaign trail. I'll let it hang in the air. She put in someone she knows from Chicago. Now, if I next read that the Lincoln bedroom has been closed off and turned into a child's playroom, okay, that's all. Fartik, move on. New York, WOR, Tony, what's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I was reading the Political Zoo for the third time. Something went through my mind. If you had to write it over again, what animal would Barack Obama be?
He'd be the chameleon. And his Latinized binomial would be double talkus insultus. You know, I've never seen a president get away with so much rubbish in so short a time. And the press still can't get out of their own love affair with this guy. He insults America. He double talks everything. He says that he's against racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, sexism, xenophobia, which we all are. And he goes to the most sexist, anti-Semitic, homophobic, racist, xenophobic nation on earth, Saudi Arabia. Doesn't he understand the hypocrisy of that?
Absolutely not.
No, of course not. That's why I say the comedian, the double talkers, insult us. Thank you. Let's move on. You know, I got to tell you a personal story. I went to a little restaurant last night. Yeah, it's not important where it was, but it was a nice little place. The waiter is a young guy. I've seen him over the years. And I don't know how it came up. It was about Obama's speeches. The guy is sort of apolitical, the waiter, white guy. And I think he's a liberal who voted for Obama. He and I like each other. We never talk politics. Just a nice young guy. I think I said to him, what do you think of Obama's speeches? He said to me, I can't believe it. He was almost stunned. He said, whose side is he on? I said, well, what do you think? Whose side is he on? He said, I don't know. He's not on our side. So here's a guy who's sort of apolitical. Young guy voted for Obama because he didn't want the old loser, McCain. And he didn't really know the nuance of what one party represented or another. And he represents maybe 10 million votes in the last election. 10 million people voted for Obama because he was young. And they didn't want another old white hack like a Bush job. And the best the Republicans could put up is a fall guy. So he voted for Obama. But even he, an apolitical guy, says to me, which side is he on? He says, I don't know. He's not on our side. Believe me when I tell you there's huge voter remorse in this country. And I will tell you if this election were held again today, Obama would lose. But it's not going to be held again today. That's the problem. He said some other things that were really stunningly horrible, if you want me to talk about that. And we will. But I want you to go back to two thoughts that I've given you so far. He did not take his wife, Michelle Obama, on the trip because women are treated like garbage in Saudi Arabia. And when he went to Buchenwald and he spoke against racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, sexism, xenophobia, and hatred, everyone agrees with him. Yet he just came from the most racist, anti-Semitic, homophobic, sexist, xenophobic nation on earth.
Savage.
I understand those who protest that some countries have weapons that others do not. No single nation should pick and choose which nation holds nuclear weapons.
What?
And that's why I strongly reaffirmed America's commitment to seek a world in which no nations hold nuclear weapons.
Oh, my God. Disarmament again. Pacifism. Neville Chamberlain. Wait.
And any nation, including Iran, should have the right to access peaceful nuclear power.
Did you hear this? This man is equivalent to Neville Chamberlain, who came back from Germany after Hitler had invaded Czechoslovakia and said that the Anglo-German alliance is stronger than ever, and Chancellor Hitler assures him he's not going to do it again. And so we now have clear evidence that Obama is a naive pacifist socialist of a garden variety of such, by the way. He's a garden variety pacifist socialist. Probably, if I had to categorize the type of socialist, I would put him in the category of a Fabian socialist, which I've talked about for 2 years now. It'll soon be used by all of the pseudo-intellectuals in talk radio. He's clearly a Fabian socialist, which is, of course, in a nutshell, socialism not by violence, but bringing it about through gradual change. So in that sense, he's a member of the Fabians, and clearly so a pacifist and a pacifist as such. A very dangerous man in a world where Iran says they want to wipe Israel off the map, and then the great Satan. And he says, we have no right to stop them from gaining nuclear weapons. Can you believe this? It's unbelievable to me. Something is beyond comprehension how dumb you are that you don't see this. I saw it. The hypocrisy, the naivete. The speech was an utter disaster. And we can go down the list. In four... He says, I'm quoting him now, the U.S. government has gone to court to protect the right of women and girls to wear the hijab and to punish those who would deny it. I reject the view of some in the West that a woman who chooses to cover her hair is somehow less equal. But I do believe that a woman who was denied an education is denied equality. That is probably the stupidest statement of all of them. He takes a superficial aspect of women's rights, which is clothing, and he ignores all of the other insults that are inflicted upon women in the Muslim world. In the Middle East, women are dictated to be less equal. It's unbelievable to me. Human rights? Women are being stoned, raped, abused, battered, mutilated, and slaughtered on a daily basis across the globe. That's all violence in the name of religion. And the most our president spoke about is protecting their right to wear hijab? Women in Saudi Arabia can't vote. They can't drive. In Iran, they're stoned to death on suspicion of adultery. In Pakistan, politicians defend honor killings of young girls who have the audacity to choose their own husbands. And, of course, the president mentioned none of that. Instead, he talked about the right of them to wear a hijab. There it is. It's unbelievable to me that you don't see this. So I believe that as time goes on and that intelligent people around the world, left and right, come to understand who this man really is, they will come to understand he is thus far perhaps the most deceptive president in history, if not the most naive. And most of you know this who listen to this show, but most of Americans don't. That's the absolute truth. It's a very small percentage of people who ever know anything anyway. But I can point out till I'm blue in the face the man's naivety and hypocrisy, and those who love him are going to love him anyway because they are worshipers. They are followers. He is a messiah to them. He is Jim Jones. If he told them to drink the Democrat Kool-Aid, if they sent out little packages of Kool-Aid from the Democrat National Committee with a stamp that made it drinkable by Rahm Emanuel, even if it contained strychnine, they would drink it as they were falling in the street. So there it is. Play another Obama speech piece.
Any world order that elevates one nation or a group of people over another will inevitably fail.
Inevitably fail. Now, I hope he didn't write this for himself because I've never heard anything as insulting to the nation that permitted an ordinary man like him to become president. Make no mistake about it, he's just an ordinary guy who's very glib, who was picked by the Democrat Party machine in Chicago to run with their flag. They to this day, I can guarantee you they don't believe that he made it. I can guarantee you that they're shocked that they pushed him so far so fast. But it's because of the corruption and incompetence of the Republicans that this guy is president. So let's not mistake ourselves. He's known. What has he done in his life that makes him exceptional? Can anyone explain it to me? Other than pulling off the greatest con in the history of the world. But prior to becoming president, what had he done that would have said, this is a remarkable man? Virtually nothing different than tens of thousands of other people of his background have already done. Nothing. He had never discovered anything of any merit. He never built a business and met a payroll, did he? Did he ever build a business through hard work and inventiveness and build a business? No. Did he invent something? Did he find a medical cure for something? Was he a war hero who went to Iraq and distinguished himself in combat? Was he a paratrooper in the airborne divisions of the U.S. military where he led his men in combat, saved men? No. He did nothing that was distinguished. Nothing. It's a complete and total con. So now he goes and gives speeches that show how hollow he is. This is a shallow, hollow man. So you say, well, give the guy a chance. Are you spending all your time knocking him? I can understand what you're saying. But I have terrible fears about what he'll do to this country if he is not pointed out as he is. I want you to take the arc over the next 4 to 8 years. You will not have a nation left. If this naive, pacifist, socialist, Fabian socialist at that, is not called out in newspaper columns and on television quickly enough, you're not going to have a nation left, let alone your freedoms. That's my opinion. But I know that the Kool-Aid drinkers can't see that at all. Now, if you want to talk about this speech, we can do it or we can move on. I mean, you know, maybe there's something else to talk about. You want to talk about the pig's feet, the fact that Sotomayor's wise Latina comment is an insult to jurisprudence and to anyone sitting on the court. It sounds to me like she's unqualified to have even been a federal judge. By what I heard, she's a smart enough person. She came from a background, pushed herself up by hard work. I get it. But she hasn't left her grudge behind. Let me put it to you that way. She hasn't left the grudges of the ghetto behind. She has carried them with her. You can make a joke about the pig feet and the pig intestines and the beans and the pig tongue. I don't, because I told you other ethnic groups eat some of that stuff. I've eaten the tongue, cow tongue, not a pig. I would never eat the intestines of anything. I never liked them. The whole idea, the Italians eat it. What is that called? The Italian intestinal dish. I don't eat that. My mother used to eat stuffed intestine. She ate brains. Could be why she lived so long and was so smart. I can't understand it. She ate cow brains. I almost threw up just looking at it in the plate. So I understand that people will eat these things. Maybe it gave my mother wisdom that I don't know about, but maybe it explains why Sotomayor is a wise Latina. It could be, and I wish her great luck in her life and in her career. This woman is not qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. She's disqualified. That's all. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Any topic is fair game. Let's have some rock and roll, Johnson. Let me have a little anything on a Friday, because that's all I care about. It's Friday.
I'm picking up good vibrations. Yeah. She's giving me the
who is this? What group is this? Beach Boy. George Bush's favorite group when he was on the wagon. I wonder what group he would have liked when he was off the wagon. Probably AC/DC. Who knows? You know which song I want to hear is, hold it, stop it, Hotel California. Boring, but there's a reason I want to hear it, if you can dig it up out of the archives while the people are thinking about pig intestines and Fabian socialism. By the way, Obama did not invite the Queen of England to the, tomorrow we got to watch the disgrace of him at Normandy. A guy who spits on the graves of our fallen soldiers, now he's going to go to Normandy, I love it. Maybe you could say they made a mistake in bombing Dresden while he's there. Made a mistake in fighting the war against Hitler, because they didn't fight it under his rules. Play California louder. Go ahead, I'll shut up.
Her mind is differently twisted. She got the Mercedes Benz. She got a lot of pretty boys.
I have no wise comment here. I could say something about... He said Mercedes-Benz, I want to hear the Indian music and do I Want Mercedes for your entertainment. Or put on the Indian music, I'll entertain the crowd. That's all. I'm going to translate from the mock Hindi now. I want Mercedes. Sister has Mercedes. You only buy me Toyota. I know what Prius. I want Mercedes. Come on, I have Indian friends, and you know how much I admire the Indian people. They laugh at this. The white racist scum communists turn everything I say into something that it isn't. I will not eat goat curry. So certain animals I won't eat, I feel bad for them. I kill a goat with a beard like that. I had a friend, we went to Fiji once. Turn it off. He ate the goat curry. He got a case of a dysentery. 2 weeks, and he was like in bed for a week. It was running. Let's leave it alone. The details I could leave out of the story. He ate the goat curry. I didn't. But the point I'm making is, I said to him, drink black tea, drink black tea, drink black tea. He drank black tea, and it stopped the dysentery for a while. He said, it doesn't make any sense that it would stop the dysentery. I said, okay, I know you're going to be a doctor, but... black tea will stop it because it's got tannins which kill bacteria. You didn't read that in the medical book because they want to peddle you a drug. They want you to sell a drug instead of black tea. And by the way, while you're at it, have some garlic to go with it. One of the most powerful antibacterial agents God ever put on the earth. I know it's not sold by Smith, Klein, and Ganef, but it's pretty good. 1-800-449-8255. Put on the Indian music. Take a break. I'll be right back. Mercedes. I want Mercedes. Not Toyota. Give me Prius. Sister has Mercedes.
Savage.
address the issue of Iraq. Unlike Afghanistan, Iraq was a war of choice that provoked strong differences in my country and around the world. Although I believe that the Iraqi people are ultimately better off without the tyranny of Saddam Hussein, I also believe that events in Iraq have reminded America of the need to use diplomacy and build international consensus to resolve our problems whenever possible.
That's the most absurd statement I've ever heard a man make. He's saying it's wonderful that the Iraqis were liberated from the tyranny of Saddam Hussein, and they were liberated, of course, through war, through bullets, through bombs, through airplanes, through tanks. They were not liberated through hot air. Hot air doesn't work with tyrants, as history has shown repeatedly. It has never worked with tyrants. It is not going to work with Iran. And he says we should use diplomacy. Diplomacy didn't work with Saddam. Diplomacy is not working with North Korea. Diplomacy is not working with Iran. And yet he goes on with the college lecture about diplomacy first. Well, we all believe in diplomacy. Certainly we'd rather not see war. But he's not going to argue that 24 million Iraqis who were liberated through the blood, sweat, and tears of our military are not better off as a result of the war, is he? This is nonsense. He can't have it both ways. He's glad that Saddam's gone, but he's against the war that removed him? Yeah. Well, my friend, that was the only way to remove him. It was a hard choice. But Obama doesn't want to make any hard choices. He thinks he can just talk his way in and out of anything because that is how he's gotten where he is, by talking his way in and out of anything. One man's opinion. Whatever. I don't know that I want to take all of these calls. What Boudin is Italian? Joplin, Missouri. Theo, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's this about food?
Yeah, Boudin is the name of that food you're talking about. We used to make it when I lived in Texas, and there were some people who had migrated from Louisiana, and they would bring it up, and they would have this machine.
Wait. You mean the stuff that Sotomayor eats, the pig ears, intestines, feet, and all?
That's right. Pig feet, man. That was my favorite thing when I was a kid. They would.
I've been in stores where I've seen pig's feet in a jar. It's like I can't relate to it. I don't know.
Good, believe it or not, it's really good. But
is it jellied? It's like jellied pig's feet.
And with pork dust to you, so I don't eat
pork
it now.
Butts. Pork butts? No. Look, I'm not a Muslim. I eat pork chops, but that's as far as I go. Yeah, to each his own. To each his own. Does it make you a wise person if you eat a pig's intestines and feet? That turns you into a wise person. All right, I made my point already. Could I go home now? I mean, I'm showing you the speech was a crock of garbage. I've pointed out that the reason he didn't bring out Michelle to the despotic nation of Saudi Arabia is because she would have had to wear a black cloak covering her body. And I'll remind you that women cannot drive, vote, etc., testify in court in Saudi Arabia. That's why the first lady didn't go. He didn't risk bringing her, because then she would have been, had to wear a veil. So the fact of the matter is, all nations are not equal. Some are horrible. Some nations are horrible and should be told that they're horrible. Do you know that he just undermined the democracy movements in Egypt and in Saudi Arabia? Are you aware of the fact that he undermined the budding democracy movements in these countries? Have you any idea what he did? That by addressing the Islamic world from Cairo, Obama lends credibility to the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, and other advocates of political Islam who demand that Muslims be addressed globally on religious terms. I'm quoting now from Spengler of Asia Times. Many Arabs who were struggling for democracy and freedom in their own countries were undermined by Obama's speech and his choice of venue. He did not talk about human rights. He did not talk about abuses in Egypt, nor in Saudi Arabia. Which brings me to a bigger question altogether. We have a broken economy that he made worse. It's right now just, let's say, sleight of hand where you think that he cured everything with the infusion of tons of money. You think that he saved us, but he's not yet paid the piper for what Bush did and what he's done. So there's an illusion that the economy is better when it isn't. But I have a question for you. Do you think it's appropriate that within 4 months of becoming president, that he would visit Europe and the Middle East twice in these months while there's so many problems in this country. Why is this man taking such big tours so quickly when we have so many problems here? I could ask the simple question and say, shouldn't he stay here and fix the problems at home? Well, apparently he thinks he's done that. Now he's on to the world. He solved America's problems, and now he's on to becoming president of the world. This is a narcissist. This is an egomaniac. And he's a rather naive man at that, and it's frightening. Watch out for the man with good intentions, because the road to you nowhere is paved with such. I warn you that I'd rather have a pragmatist than an idealist for president. And I think we're now going to experience nakedly what it is to have a college professor, a neo-Marxist college professor, for president. And I know that Merkel of Germany was not conned by him. We all read that she's not conned by him. She's smart enough to know he's a double talker. She's very angry at him for overspending in the United States of America and demanding that they spend more money. She didn't like being pushed around by him. So Merkel's the only one with the pragmatism. She's the chancellor of the president of Germany, excuse me, who understands exactly who he is. And that's why there's tension between Obama and the president of Germany. All right, I think I've said enough. The next hour we can talk about tripe. We can talk about the fact that this just came out on the wires. Two former drug dealers tied to Murtha-backed firm. That's right. Old Murtha. Old Jackie Murtha of Pennsylvania. The wonderful Jack Murtha who called our Marines Nazis. Rep. John Murtha steered millions of dollars in defense work to a campaign donor, and the Pentagon went along with it, even though two convicted drug dealers have been deeply involved with the company. Read the story. That's right. Drug dealers now. Convicted cocaine dealer. When is this man going to get indicted already? What has to happen until the Democrats clean house? When?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I don't like this song at all. Welcome to the program. I didn't pick it. I don't like it. I'm going to play only things I like because it's memories. That's all. Most people don't like this music anyway to begin with. It's antiquated, old. It's like a 55 Buick Roadmaster. I mean, who would drive a rusty Buick Roadmaster? Nobody. Well, if it's restored, it's another story. Sotomayor repeatedly referenced wise woman in 84 speeches. She joined an elite secretive women-only group. Really? She signed a memo opposing the death penalty. She loves pig intestines, ears, tongue, and feet. So does that qualify her or disqualify her to be a Supreme Court justice? But we don't have a Republican Party. They're going to do just what they did with Ginsburg. They've been beaten up in advance. They're terrified, these ushers. The Republican ushers are already frightened. They're shaking in their boots already. Before she even gets in there, they're ready. Yeah, they gave up. Imagine if we ever had to go to war with a real serious adversary, what would happen in this country? My God, they can't even deal with this situation. Look, I spent the first hour on this show playing portions of Obama's speech. I took it apart. I showed you where the hypocrisy is, the absurdity, the whatever. He didn't bring his wife with him. Why? Because he went to one of the most destitute nations on earth with regard to human rights. Michelle, well known for her good build and likes to show it off wearing sleeveless tops. She wouldn't have had to wear a burqa. If she was a Saudi, you know, she can't drive, she can't vote. It's a horrible nation, a throwback nation, a medieval nation. You hear this? And Obama says all nations are equal. They're not all equal. We are the citadel on the hill. Otherwise, how do you explain an ordinary man like him becoming president? If that doesn't show that this nation is unlike all others, I'd like to know what does. That an ordinary college professor could BS his way into the presidency just shows you how we're different than any other nation. In the negative way. The chameleon double talk us, insult us. Now he's going to go on to D-Day tomorrow, D-Day ceremonies, which is an insult unto itself. He's anti-war. He's a pacifist. What is he going to say? The soldiers laying there, many of them were war criminals because they bombed Dresden? What's coming tomorrow? What kick in the pants is coming tomorrow to our national honor? I can't wait to hear it. And to top it off, to show you how naive this group is, these Democrats, way above their pay scale, above their pay grade, they didn't even invite the Queen of England. She's the only living head of state who was actually alive during World War II, so far as I know. She actually drove a truck in the British Auxiliary in World War II, and they chose not to invite her. And the inside story of why she wasn't invited is both he and that other fraud, Sarkozy, both egomaniacs, did not want to be upstaged by the Queen. Both of them are creatures of the media. Both of them want cameras on them at all times. And both of them understood that this dignified elderly lady, this true stateswoman in her own way, this quiet presence would have upstaged the utter insincerity of their appearances. So that's tomorrow to look forward to. Now, look, I've done it already. I'm not going to do it. I need to breeze through this hour. It's Friday. I don't want to give myself a migraine before the weekend. So let's play it. Let me pick a rock and roll tune. Can we talk about anything except politics? Unless there's a great caller. Unless there's some great callers. I don't know. Let's clean the board off here and start all over again. You know, I don't know if I want to do politics now. I want to go into something else. Pig's feet, tripa, whatever. I can't eat tripa. I can't eat it. The idea of eating the guts of another animal, I mean, I can't do it. I told you I did. It's not alien to my culture. My mother ate brains. She ate intestine. I puked when I looked at that stuff. But all right, she ate it. What are you going to do? She lived to 88, so she must have known what she was doing. God bless her. Who could eat brains? I don't get it. Not only that, I mean, it turns out that, you know, you look at all these organ meats you talk about from a point of view of health. According to our hysteria about cholesterol, they're no-nos because you can't eat liver, high cholesterol, we know that, even though it's fabulously rich in iron and other minerals that we all need, which explains why many of us are deficient in these nutrients, because we've given up some of the most important parts of the animal, like the liver. You should have liver once in a while, by the way. Forget your Lipitor and your insanity. Okay, have a piece of liver every once in a while. You'll find out that you have more energy than you've had in years. The iron that would run through your system, you finally feel like a man again. You wouldn't need Viagra and you wouldn't need the Lipitor. You'd feel like a human being again with something between your ears. I was going to say something else, but it's a family show. So I wouldn't say go to the brains department. That is, the brains are the most cholesterol-rich organ of the cow. And secondly, you can get Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease from eating uncooked brains. That's something that I don't want to go into, but it's related to the Lou Gehrig's disease, so to speak. That was a part of my PhD dissertation. You don't want to mess around with uncooked brains. We have enough of them in Washington. Not funny. Okay, throwaway line, whatever. How does this end? I don't know how this ends. I just don't know how this ends. I don't know how it ends with a naive pacifist from Chicago as president, running around the world like he cures every problem when he appears. How does this end? Where does this go? Now the French foreign minister is saying you can't discard terrorism theory in Air France airplane crash. Who said it first? Me. Remember you laughed at me. Oh, what does that savage know? He's a shock jock. He don't know anything. Yeah, they went in a storm. Then every expert said, wait a minute, why would they go in a storm if they have radar that goes 380 miles out? Every schmuck on television, they showed venturis and wind and up to 50,000. That's what they heard already, little men and little women. Storm, 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 storm. There's the wreckage. No, it's not the wreckage. The geniuses. They found the debris and it wasn't from this jet. They know nothing and they lie to you and they do know something. It's all a cover-up. But as I say, look, I did the hour already, the hot hour. Now I want to just drift. I want to cruise through the hour. I want to be like a manatee in the Intracoastal. I want to be like a pelican flying over Boca Raton in a soft wind. I want to be like a bluebird on Al Jolson's nose. You want me to just do word jazz? I'll do word jazz. I just gave you three pieces of word jazz. I could play a tune to those three couplets, couldn't I? Is that like a bluebird in Al Jolson's nose? That's a nice image, right? It's almost a maiku. That's also funny, that, for those of you who know what I just said. Maiku as opposed to haiku. You didn't catch that one? Okay. That was a maiku. Bluebird on Al Jolson's nose, manatee in the Intracoastal. You ever see those pelicans flying over that strip of land in Florida? It's astounding. The pelican is one of my favorite seabirds. They are allegedly they're kind of like green dinosaurs that adapted to the times over millions of years. Now, they're once pterodactyls, and they figured out, okay, that game is over. All right, let's re-engineer ourselves. That should take about 10,000 years. Cut down on the legs, cut down on the body. You don't need all that girth. We're going into a new age. It's pretty bad out there. Meteor hit the earth. Less to eat. So shrink it up, girls. We're going to lose some weight. We're no longer going to be pterodactyls. We're going to be pelicans. That thing about penguins really gets to me. Holding the egg. The father holds the egg and the mother goes swimming. My God. I'd like to give to a pelican society. Is there a pelican saving group or something? Whale killers I'd like to personally put on a harpoon myself. I think that we have to stop the whale murderers. I really mean that. It's heartbreaking to let the Japanese and the Norwegians kill those animals. Never mind the clubbing up there by the drunks in Alaska. Yeah, everything is ethnic. The ethnic excuse to beat them to death with a club. So, I'm sorry, it's your ethnic right to slaughter a whale. Pardon me. Oh, you're different than everybody else on the world today. Go club seals to death because it's in your culture. Go ahead. Anyone says anything, you're a racist white male. Go beat a seal to death, a little white seal pup with a club. Call yourself a man. Go ahead. Vote for a Democrat. Vote for Al Gore. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'm getting such beautiful letters. By the way, I want to take a moment now. I finally, folks, all of you who've sent donations to the Savage Defense Fund, I can't thank each of you by name on the show, and I'm sure many of you don't want to be thanked by name on the show. You'd rather remain anonymous. I finally had a list printed up, so I'm getting some feeling of who's sending because I never look at it. And I want to thank each and every one of you individually, but I can't. I'm going to be sending you a letter soon to thank you. That's all I can say. And certain amongst you, I'm going to get a book. I'm going to send you a book. It's all I can do. It's all I have to give you. I thought about something today in bed before I got up. I said, you know, the other animals feel. They can be sensitive. They have emotions. They can love. Not perhaps in the same way a human can love, but I'm not so sure of that. In other words, I think my dog loves more purely than a human ever did. If I go out for 10 minutes, he jumps like crazy. He doesn't know it's 10 minutes or 10 years. Crazy, jumping, loving. You know, it's something to behold. It's almost painful in a way to see an animal so attached to you. So, okay, love, they say, is a divine human emotion, and I'm sure it is. But it's not unique to the human animal, okay? It's also seen in the animal world as well. An ape can love, a dog can love, etc. I'm sure many other animals that you get to know can love you. But what does the human being do that lower animals, so to speak, cannot do? Speak, articulate language, and write. And so the thing that distinguishes man from other animals is his use of language, my friends. Think about it. So when we have a society that is so debased by the media, where a rap song is held up to the level of a rhapsody, where Beethoven and a gangbanger are held up in the same level, you understand that we're descending, we're not ascending. You understand that we're going backwards, not forwards. Do you understand why when a person sits and text messages or emails all day long, they're actually diminishing their IQ? You understand what I'm saying? You're actually devolving as a creature. You're devolving. You are diminishing your capacity to read and to write, let alone to speak. You don't speak on these devices, but you can read and you can write. So when you reduce your writing to hieroglyphics without punctuation, without thinking about tenses, you're actually going back in time, which is why it's a very, very poor prognosis for the future of Western civilization. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Nui ko'u wa'a. That means my canoe is big. Nui ko'u wa'a. Nui kawa'o ko'u makuakane. That means my father's canoe is big. Lohi kawa'a o keoni. That means John's canoe is slow. I like that. My father's canoe is big and my canoe is big. Nui ko'u wa'a. I once lived on Rolling Sweet Potato Hill in Honolulu. I love the language. People think it's a primitive language. It's anything but. I'm no expert, but I don't think you know how many words there are in the Hawaiian language itself. You know, you laugh about it with the ukulele. You know how many words? 26,000, did I say before? 26,000 Hawaiian entries in the Pukui and Elbert Dictionary. Amazing. 26,000 Hawaiian entries in the Pukui Dictionary. That's pretty amazing. And yet, if you look at the average text message today, or let us say the entire galaxy of words used in text messaging, and even in America, a highly advanced nation, so to speak, you think that we're using 26,000 words? You think we're using 2,600 words in the entire vocabulary of text messaging? You think we're using 260 different words? It's very minimal. And what I'm saying is we're devolving. That's what I'm trying to make that point. You say, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm just telling you what's going on. That's how a man like Obama, the diminished president, can diminish the presidency like this. Because of text messaging and emailing. People didn't even know what he was. They confused him with an actual diplomat, a genius. 1-800-449-8255, New York City. WOR. Tom, welcome to the program.
Michael Savage, the Archangel of America, we all love you because you always work your hardest, and we know that you'll never become a jihadist.
How long did it take you to come up with that little couplet?
I've held it aside for a while, Michael. You're a tough man.
That is good. Come on, Tom. We know you work your hardest, and we know you'll never become a jihadist. That's beautiful. And is that still legal to say in America? Because Obama just went to the country of jihad and didn't mention the word. He didn't even say the word terrorism.
You're fighting for us, Michael. You're keeping that speech legal.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for that very, very much. Yeah, he didn't say the word terrorism or terrorist once. I guess he said anger. Oh, Lord. God sees the truth but waits. Why is he waiting so long? We should come down already and straighten it all out. What if God just showed up and said, all right, look, I've had enough of this. I've waited long enough. You guys don't know what you're doing. Now shut up, everybody. Here's what's going on. Okay? Connecticut, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, your word paintings, as I like to call them, when you're free thinking, are fantastic. I'm a painter. I'm a visual artist. And I would call your word skills as finely crafted abstract art. I'm a realist. I can't do abstract art. I do everything realistically. When you speak from the heart the way you talk, I get visions in my head, and I could paint pictures from that.
You mean like a bluebird on Al Jolson's nose?
Absolutely. Listen to a little Coltrane, and I could see where Jackson Pollock, could throw paint around and get into it because...
But you called because you disagree with me on evolution, though. Although we agree in principle, you disagree with me on the evolutionary statement that the pelicans were once pterodactyls, I believe.
Actually, my point was I wasn't disagreeing, but I was saying it's a little more, you could expand on that because some species didn't change. Crocodiles, turtles, there's a couple others that actually...
I want to cut to the chase because we've had this discussion before, and since you're a friendly caller, I'm going to say it again. When God, it says God created the earth in 7 days and seven nights. It was explained on this show by a religious scholar that a day to God is not a day to man. That a day could be 10 million years and it could mean 70 million years of evolutionary trials and tribulations. And that would explain how we could have a record
Savage.
In the earth of past animals. We had our, you know, political hour and a half already on the show. It's Friday. It's not illegal yet in this mean-spirited Democrat administration to have a good time, is it? So let's just relax a little bit. It's open mic to Mike Friday. You know, whatever you want to talk about off the wall is good. I saw a really kind of tasteless headline this morning, the tragedy of David Carradine. It was really a kind of, how could you not love David Carradine? I mean, he was a likable character, you know, found hung in a closet in Thailand with the a rope around his neck and around his genitals with his hands behind his back. I mean, so they wrote Hung Fu, H-U-N-G. I mean, come on. That was tasteless. But you start to think about it. You start to think about a terrible thing like that, and you wonder what actually happened. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you want to speculate on what actually happened? Are we allowed to do it? It's a news story. He was a public figure. They find the guy hanging in a closet with his hands trussed behind his back with his neck and genitals tied together. What in the world happened in Thailand there? I have my suspicions right off the bat. Just as I was right about the airplane possibly being bombed because it made sense to me. They, pilots are trained, number one, to avoid storm. You've been in an airplane. First they said lightning, right? So I said that's rubbish because planes are hit by lightning all the time. They have lightning rods. They're built to sustain a lightning strike, so they ruled that out. Then they said storm, flew into a storm. I'm a boater. I have radar with 120-mile range on it. So airplanes have range of 380 or 400 miles. So I said, what pilot would fly into a storm? They're supposed to avoid a storm. You don't even fly or you fly around it, no matter how far you have to go. Then every for 2 days, storm, 50,000-mile this. Now they're excluding that, and French foreign ministers are saying terrorism theory can't be discarded. So it took them a week to admit what common sense dictated. So you go to the Carradine hanging in a closet. And you could speculate if you think we could do that, if you want to. That's all. But I don't know if you want to talk about that. It's kind of embarrassing. You say, well, let him rest in peace. All right. Whatever. You see the story on my website about the 26-year-old that Phil Spector married? I still don't understand what they talk about. The music producer, Phil Spector. The genius. The music. Hasn't done anything since 1964. The record, the genius, the wall of sound. I don't even know what the wall of sound is. Savage, biggest story in Britain, not covered by U.S. press. It is still the biggest story over there. But here, the press barons have said, niet to Michael Savage. Niet. Wilders' party makes big gains in European Parliament election. He was banned, by the way, from Britain because of his controversial views on Islam. And now his party is growing like crazy in his own country. Think I should create my own party? Nah, I don't eat pig's feet. Maybe if I started eating pig's feet and pig brains and pig's intestines, I could run for office. But until then, I don't think so. Barney Frank stops General Motor closure in his own district. Barney Frank kept the GM and opened up in his own district. Could you believe this? Unbelievable. Tomorrow we got to go through the embarrassment of D-Day with Obama then. I'm going to spits on the military. Unbelievable to me. Oh, there's the New York Post article on the bottom right. Hung Fu in Bangkok. This is terrible. It's a terrible story. Found in a hotel room closet with a rope tied to his neck and genitals. It's a news story. There's nothing dirty about it. Well, it could be. Sorry, I could be construed as that. But I say to each his own. I've told you that I am a sexual libertarian personally. I don't care what you do sexually. I don't know how many years I'm going to have to keep saying it until you finally understand that that's where I stand. There are people who do this kind of thing, and I don't want to go into the details, but, you know, whatever. What is this? People apparently self-asphyxiate, accidentally suffocate, too. And they do it to themselves, incidentally. I read about that. Look, in the talk radio business, you have to read pretty far and wide, even when it comes to this kind of walking on the wild side. It said the Bangkok Post said the veteran actor was married may have died from, quote, autoerotic asphyxiation. He could have been trying to gain sexual pleasure by cutting off his breathing and accidentally suffocated. Oh, come on. Wow. Where is sexual pleasure in this? Can anyone explain this in a family manner? I mean, grown-ups can talk about these things. What in the world is the pleasure in autoerotic asphyxiation? Is it the fear that you're going to die that gets you excited? I don't quite understand it. I can't understand this. What incest charge? I don't want to go. TMZ is now that, and they're going to. Oh, I don't want to go into that. That's something I don't want to get into here. He doesn't think he took his own life, nor does he think he died accidentally. Rope tied around, two ropes are tied together. Unclear whether he committed suicide or not, or he died. Could have had someone in the room who was, you know, working this with him, and then it went bad. He's an older man. He could have had a heart attack in the middle of the thing, and they left him in the closet. Or they do this, and then they put you in a closet so you get frightened, and that increases the pleasure if you're demented or whatever. Who would have ever thought that Kill Bill, the comeback role, would do this to himself? You don't know what people, you know, what they need to do. And what goes on in a bedroom is their business anyway. You know, got a beautiful wife. Look at that. The actor with wife Annie Berman was making the film Stretch. Oh, come on, no. He was making a film? Oh, come on, that's absurd. The man was making a film called Stretch, and they find him with a rope around his neck. That's horrendous. This is really true. It's terrible. David Carradine's body was found hanging in a closet at this Bangkok hotel. Why do they have to turn it into this luxury hotel? The room looks like an ordinary Howard Johnson's. Everything luxury. That somehow makes it better. He drove a luxury car, a Lincoln Town car. Luxury. That makes it hotter. What's this picture of him? All this is in the article. I didn't make it up. That's all. All right, it's over. Whatever it is, he's got to meet his maker. And that's the end of the story. Hit television series Kung Fu, aired from 1970 to 75, launched Carradine's career. It was reported that Carradine, 72, was found hanging in his Bangkok hotel room on Thursday morning. Let's leave it at that already. I watched that show when I was younger. I think, I don't really remember, a couple of them with the cricket, the ball, everything was wisdom. But they don't eat pig's neck, pig's feet over there. They were vegetarians, the Buddhists. So I don't know how they got wisdom. Apparently a wise Latina has to eat pig's feet and pig's neck and in order to be smarter than a white male. Who knows? Let's take the regular calls about other things here. New York City, WOR, Pete, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, I was listening a little while ago talking about pig's feet and tripe. Did you ever hear of something called gabuzel? It's Italian.
Say it slower for the non-Italian.
Gabuzel. Don't ask me to spell it.
What is it?
It's a sheep's head.
And how do you eat that sheep's head? Sheep's head, bay. How do you eat sheep's head?
No, don't ask me how. They put it on it. I wouldn't eat it. They put it on a table. But the funny part is, fight over who's going to get the eyeballs. That's like
Wow. Yeah, the eyeballs. That's an easy thing to digest.
A good friend in the restaurant business. Ask him about gabuzel.
But who eats that today?
Some Italians still eat it.
Yeah, they probably would like to be actually have their enemy's head on a plate instead.
Hey, you're doing
it's a substitute. It's probably a substitute for their enemies. All right, Pete. What's it called? Kabazoo?
Gabuzel.
Gabuzel. I'll ask for it the next time I go down to Alioto's. I'll ask them if they got a. God forbid they come out with a sheep's head. I'm leaving. Every time I go in there and I see the fish on the ice, I think of the big fatty guy in the Sopranos talking. Every time I see a fish now, I can't get it out of my head. The mouth looks like it's talking to me, like in Tony's fever dream. Albany, New York, Jack, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I can agree with you, and I know why you can't say the name of that character. But I was wondering how you were doing with the kayakers there out on the bay when you go out on your boat. I noticed myself, I live off the Hudson River here in Castleton, New York, just north of Catskill.
Gorgeous.
And it is gorgeous. I don't know how the Hudson water is, but you can float on it. I'm a boater, but I don't have a boat, so I'm a conscious observer of boats. And I've seen a couple of kayaks lately coming out in the spring, and these other motor boats going past them, and you see them all raging, like getting all
the
red.
The kayakers are the same as the bicyclists. They're arrogant, and they're insane. Now, I'm a bicyclist. I got to be very clear about it. But I don't ride in the middle of the road and give people a finger when they're trying to pass me. And if you're a kayaker, get some common sense along with your attitude. That would be put a whip tail on the thing so someone could see you, number one, and stick to the eddy of the river. Don't go in the middle. Or you're going to get killed one day. Someone's not going to see you. Doesn't anyone talk to these jerks?
You do. I was wondering how far
I don't know. I don't have trouble with them because I haven't been on my boat since the abandoned Britain. Would you believe it? I haven't been out once in 4 or 5 weeks now because my head isn't into it. I'm going this Sunday. I decided the heck with it all. I gotta go back to what I enjoy. But my mind has been so absorbed with this getting my name off the ban list in Britain that come the weekend, my mind is too distracted to even go out on a boat. You don't understand that boating requires concentration like any other sport. Certainly not to the same extent as flying an airplane or some other very, very demanding sports. You know, martial arts in a combat or whatever. If you blink an eye, you're going to get killed there. But in a boat, if you're not focused on the water, you can hurt yourself and kill somebody. Period. End of story. So I don't go out. So I'm going out this Sunday with a captain. I decided, you know what, for the sake of others and myself, a local guy I know who delivers big boats, he's going to go out with me, and I'm going to enjoy it because I'm not going to be worried about driving into someone because my mind's on Jackie Smith. I'm not going to be worried about when my mind wandered, isn't my name going to be taken off the list of the most horrible people on the earth because of the psychos in England. You know what I'm saying? I'll clear my head up a little bit and go out. Actor David Carradine. We did that story already. That's going to haunt me over the weekend. Like, where's Jimmy? Did Jimmy hang up? Chicago Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hey, Michael. I just had a question about whales and cows. You seem to hold whales higher on the food chain. I'd like to know why.
It's an interesting question. I've seen the same question raised before. For example, they raise dogs in cages in China, and then they club them to death and they eat them in restaurants. Now, would you say that eating a steak from a cow is the same as clubbing a piece of dog stew in Korea?
I do see it as similar, but I do see there's more variation in dogs. It seems like somebody made them so that there's more of a variation in dogs.
No, but there's something else about dogs that distinguishes them from cows. The bovine creature is an innocent animal, but it doesn't have the consciousness of a dog. Certainly it doesn't want to die. I've been in a slaughterhouse, and I'll never forget it. It's not a pleasant thing to experience. No animal on earth wants to die, and they all know when they're going to die. And I've heard them screaming as they heard their friends getting knocked off. And I've seen them, defecating on themselves with fear. It's a terrible thing to witness. But the fact of the matter is, if you go to a slaughterhouse once, you'll never forget it. They don't want to die, but they don't have the same level of consciousness as a dog, I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only thing I could say. Now, you go up the chain of animals, the whale is at a much different evolutionary level than a dog, obviously. The whale communicates with sound on the water that is astonishing to people who study this. The sonar that whales use is astonishing. Their protectiveness towards each other is astonishing to witness. And it's the same with elephants. I mean, I just gave money to an elephant protection fund. I gave money to a gorilla protection fund. Why? If I eat a steak or a hamburger, why do I care about people hunting down elephants so they can sell the tusks to the psychopaths in China who like ivory? Okay? Why do I care about protecting the mountain gorilla if I eat a steak? Because there's a difference in the animal between a cow and a mountain gorilla. There's a difference between an elephant and a cow. So that's why I gave some donations to those organizations. The next I'm going to donate to a manatee organization and sea turtles. I mean, you watch a turtle lay eggs. It's astonishing. You know, the more you look at nature, the older you get, the more you look at it, the more you're astonished by a few things. I remember my father to this day teaching me that he actually taught me no animal wants to die. He taught me that. So a kid doesn't know anything. A kid could see anything. It doesn't mean you shouldn't eat meat. I mean, we weren't vegetarians. He just told me in his own way to be, aware of the fact that that animal really didn't want, to be killed. So the fact is that if you look at the animal and learn to study the animal, you can learn more about yourself and you can have more compassion for your own humanity. That's really what it comes down to. And that leads us to the whole idea of a compassionate slaughter of animals, which I have studied, by the way, once. For about a 3-month period of my life, I actually analyzed this from every different angle imaginable. For example, there are kosher food laws, which many people mistakenly believe were written for food purity. It is alleged by other scholars that it had something to do with food purity, not eating the pig, for example, and not eating certain other animals, prior to the age of refrigeration and preservation, for example. But it also had to do with something else. And the koshering law, the way that animal is butchered on a kosher level, for those of you interested for another minute, is in the most humane way. It's got to be done quickly. It's got to be done with a sharp knife. The animal's not supposed to suffer. Now, compare that with some people who actually torture an animal before they kill it, for example. So the argument was put forward by scholars that the reason the kosher food laws came down amongst the Jewish people was to teach them to have compassion and mercy for the animal so that they'd have compassion and mercy for other human beings. That is why in war the Jews are taught not to mutilate the enemy's corpse and not to torture the enemy in combat or after combat. So that's just something, you know, you can look into. I'll be right back. Savage. Cherry juice. Like that. I read the. Turn it off. No, play it a minute. I'll give him a little music on it. Can you come out tonight? It's a coded message to all of you conservatives out there. Homeland Security probably thinks it's a coded message to Christian conservatives and returning soldiers. That when I play songs, it's like a message. Whack jobs running everything. You gotta laugh at them. At the end of the day, laugh at them. Let them stew in their own stupidity. Idiots. President goes to the Middle East and talks about all countries are equal. Duh. Women, they can't drive, they can't vote, they got to wear a burqa. They're all equal. His wife didn't come with him because she would have had to wear a burqa. You can't figure that out. No one in the media noticed that but me. The king has no clothes. I said the king has no queen. Okay, I'm the first one to notice. Where's Michelle? All nations are equal, but she didn't go with him. Why? Because she would have been seen in an Arab country as a free woman, which they can't allow in that wonderful nation of Saudi Arabia, where he sought the king's counsel and his wisdom, and he got some bling for it. Bent over and took a gold necklace looking like a rap star after a concert. You hear? Everybody's a president. I covered that already hours ago. I didn't even mean to go back to it. Some nations stink, Mr. Obama. Some oppress women like Saudi Arabia and Egypt. Some kill homosexuals like in Iran. Some murder Christians, as is going on in the Middle East. Shame on you for not saying such and kowtowing to their leader. We really don't need their cooperation. What we ought to do, Mr. Obama, is stop begging the Arabs for oil and start drilling in the Alaska slope. And start drilling offshore in California. Then we wouldn't have to kowtow to despots where women are treated worse than animals. Drill in the Alaskan slope, drill offshore in California, and you could stop begging all over the world for oil, Mr. Obama. You know, that's a highfalutin speech. Then he goes, play that one about the racism and homophobia one before we end the hour.
There are those who insist that the Holocaust never happened. Not a denial of fact and truth that is baseless and ignorant and hateful. This place is the ultimate rebuke to such thoughts. A reminder of our duty to confront those who would tell lies about our history.
Okay, we agree.
Also to this day, there are those who perpetuate every form of intolerance, racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, xenophobia, sexism, and more. Hatred
that's
that
correct.
Degrades...
Now let's stop there. We agree with him. There are those who practice every form of intolerance, racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, sexism, xenophobia, and more. And such hatreds are abominable, aren't they? Well, he just came from a country called Saudi Arabia where it is state law to practice racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, sexism, xenophobia, and other such hatreds. And sure, he didn't notice it while he was there because they gave him bling. And he thinks we don't notice it? My friends... I noticed it. I noticed that the king has no queen. I noticed that he just came from the most intolerant nation on earth, a racist, anti-Semitic, homophobic, sexist, xenophobic nation of hate. My friends, there are differences in nations, and you're living in the greatest nation on earth. It is great despite Barack Hussein Obama. It is great to say to you that it is so great that a man as ordinary as him could become president.
Savage.
Here are some of the things I've been talking about today on the Savage Nation. Obama said all nations are equal. How come he didn't bring Michelle with him to Saudi Arabia if all nations are equal? Well, for one, because she couldn't wear a sleeveless blouse. She'd have to wear a burqa. Two, women are not allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia. Three, women are not equal in Saudi Arabia. They're treated like chattel. Now, in George Orwell's Animal Farm, he said that all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Well, it turns out that the same thing seems to be true with nations. Obama says we can't live in a world where some nations are lifted up above others. So we can't hold up America above others, even if the others refuse to treat their women like human beings. And we can't lift America above Iran, where they kill homosexuals. Now, if we can't make moral distinctions, there could be no morality. But maybe that's just what Chairman O is trying to accomplish. The media is ignoring the Savage story. The biggest story in Britain in the news is my fight against the Home Office to have my name removed from the list of those banned from the country. Yet the American media has swept it completely under the rug. Have they received orders from above that Michael Savage is not to be mentioned? That his views, which are critical of Obama, will not reach any more people than they already do? Well, I report, you decide. Or shall I say, I decide you report. The French Connection, the airline crash, the Paris flight. Remember I told you it looked to me like terrorism, and they said it was not terrorism? Well, now the French government is saying that the Air France flight which crashed in the ocean might have been terrorism after all. Wow. Took them quite a while. Well, let's lighten things up a little here. Here is James Hurston with the latest hijinks going on in Hollywood. James, welcome.
Thanks, Michael. President Barack Obama is now the first sitting president of the United States to land a spot in the Forbes Celebrity 100, a list of the most powerful celebs in the nation. So many magazine covers, books, audio tapes, NBC reality show news segments blur the line between politics and celebrity. But is this the right place to find the leader of the free world? You know, 14 spaces behind Mr. Satellite Radio Howard Stern and five spots lower than American Idol MC Ryan Seacrest? Obama came in at number 49 on the annual list. Forbes ranks these celebs using media exposure and earnings. A spokesperson of the magazine called Obama, quote, the most famous person in the world. Also, after 2 years at the top, Oprah Winfrey, America's number one celebrity backer of Barack Obama, was knocked off the number one spot on the Forbes list by Angelina Jolie. Daytime TV tabloid purveyor Jerry Springer is no Brad Pitt, but he was once the mayor of Cincinnati. So he's been handing out advice to embattled British Prime Minister Gordon Brown. In contrast to the way the U.S. media treats our president, Brown has been slammed by UK press over a bunch of issues. Springer is currently starring in a London show, and when he met Brown, he wasn't shy about dispensing political advice.
No, you're making this up.
You know, he brought up that expense scandal involving British politicians, which has seen high-profile politicians resigning over using taxpayers' money wrongly. Politicians resigning over using taxpayer money wrongly, that's something we should import to the U.S. But Jerry Springer said Gordon Brown should put the information regarding politicians' salaries and expenses in the public domain. He cited the fact that in America, politicians have to file a document every year with their expenses and taxes. But a big positive for Gordon Brown was the announcement of the resignation of British Home Secretary Jackie Smith. I mean, she was caught up in the expense scandal, but more importantly, she insulted freedom-loving people everywhere with that list, the one that banned a radio personality for his legitimate political positions. You know, Michael, sounds to me like a victory for the marketplace of ideas.
Exactly.
Speaking of the marketplace of ideas, remember that newscaster who tried to pawn off forged documents as real ones? What was his name? Dan Rather. Well, this tiny, minuscule audience that he has on Mark Cuban's HD Net got even smaller recently when Time Warner Cable dropped the network. So in an attempt to get some press, Rather decided to air the first television interview with a former Guantanamo Bay detainee, a Gitmo prisoner. The interview subject was Lakhdar Boumediene. This guy spent nearly 7 years in Gitmo until he was released to France. As you would expect, the interview brings out that he was tortured by U.S. soldiers, by intelligence officers, and even military doctors. But the guy also said things got worse since Obama took over. He said, quote, "Nothing changed in Guantanamo. Nothing. The same rules," he says. "They torture me in the Obama time more than Bush," close quote.
But why are we so surprised at what Obama's doing?
In a story that may seem like torture, it involves the rapper Eminem and the MTV Movie Awards. Now, Eminem may have wanted to buck the stereotypes about rap artists, but his recent appearance on that MTV Movie Awards didn't help at all. Eminem brags that an event that took place on the show was faked. It was staged. As a matter of fact, he says he's thrilled about it. And the event was, that he's thrilled about, was when Sacha Baron Cohen, dressed as the flamboyant Austrian fashion reporter character Bruno, landed butt first on the face of Eminem, wearing only a thong and angel wings. And he's thrilled? As for the Bruno guy, well, Sacha Baron Cohen is perfectly happy with that staged event, because guess what? He's promoting a movie, a follow-up to his hit Borat that happens to be titled Bruno and happens to come out next month. Anyway, thanks, Michael, for having me on, and congratulations on the first step on the way to victory over international censorship.
Hey, thanks for the report, James. Okay, moving on. Here's the question. If all nations are equal, according to Chairman Obama, and no nation should be held up above any other nation, where is Michelle Obama on this trip? Why didn't Michelle Obama go with her husband to the Middle East? He gave a speech to the Muslim world in Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and he said all nations are equal. Well, I'll ask the question again. Why did Michelle not accompany the president to Saudi Arabia and Egypt? Now, all you good liberals, pay attention, because no one asked this question. You've heard the statement, the king has no clothes, but in this case, the king has no queen. And the reason Michelle Obama didn't go is because women are little more than chattel in these throwback nations. You see, in Saudi Arabia, women are forbidden to drive cars. They're not allowed to work alongside men. Saudi women are required to wear a full black cloak. Women may not testify in court unless it is a personal matter that didn't occur in the sight of men. Women cannot maintain separate bank accounts in Saudi Arabia without their husband's permission. And of course, you good liberals, women are not allowed to vote. So there couldn't be a Sotomayor in Saudi Arabia, which explains in part why Michelle didn't go to Saudi Arabia. As I said to you, women must completely cover their bodies in Saudi Arabia. And Michelle's propensity for sleeveless tops to exhibit her fine muscular physique would not have been permitted in the land of veils and burkas. And Chairman O didn't dare risking offending his majesty, who gave him that bling, the king of Saudi Arabia, by bringing his uncovered wife to the land where the religion of peace started. He didn't dare bring her there and make her wear a veil and to expose the absurdity of his statement that all nations are equal. I'll be right back.
Savage.
try this story one more time. The other day it went over like a lead balloon, but you need to understand that I am David fighting Goliath and winning. The Philistine army had gathered for war against Israel. The two armies faced each other, camped for battle on opposite sides of a steep valley. A Philistine giant, measuring over 9 feet tall and wearing full armor, came out each day for 40 days, mocking and challenging the Israelites to fight. His name, Goliath. Saul, the king of Israel, and the whole army were terrified of Goliath. One day, a young man named David was sent to the battle lines by his father to bring back news of his brothers. David was probably just a young teenager at the time. While there, David heard Goliath shouting his daily defiance, and he saw the great fear stirred within the men of Israel. David responded, "Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?" So David volunteered to fight Goliath. Dressed in his simple tunic, carrying his shepherd's staff, slingshot, and a pouch full of stones, David approached Goliath. The giant cursed at him, hurling threats and insults. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As Goliath moved in for the kill, David reached into his bag and slung one of his stones at Goliath's head. Finding a hole in the armor, the stone sank into the giant's forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. David then took Goliath's sword, killed him, and then cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that the hero was dead, they turned and ran. That's David and Goliath, a little music, Ray, a little traveling music to finish that up. I just thought that since we're living in a land that is all fable, I would read you a real fable. Since we're living in a land where any man can become president, as exemplified by the current president, in a land where they can give away an entire industry and the people don't say a peep, in a land where the president can bow down to a king repeatedly, in a land where we weren't allowed to say he was a Muslim and his middle name was Hussein during the campaign, and now he says, "My name is Hussein and I am a Muslim," proudly. In a land where Al-Qaeda kills a British hostage in Mali, in a land where more targets were found on the Muslim convert's computer, in a land where CARE tells Obama to make sure that Islam is treated fairly and not denigrated in newspaper columns, in churches, and on talk radio, in a land of fables such as this, I thought that perhaps I could read you a true fable of David and Goliath. Las Vegas, Terry, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi. I agree with you with 99% of the stuff you say. She didn't go because she's a good mom. That's the one thing.
Right. Oh, yes. She's a mom. She's not a first lady. Now she's a mom?
School's out.
Are you kidding yourself? Because you're not kidding me. She didn't go because she'd have to put on a burqa to go walk around in Saudi Arabia.
Well,
did you hear how women are treated over there?
Yes, I do. I understand it. It's totally not a good thing. But she
not a good thing. They can't even vote in Saudi Arabia, let alone they can't walk with their faces exposed.
Well, I'm agreeing.
She didn't go because she would have had to wear a veil. What are you talking about, staying at home with the children? Now she's a good mom? Come on, wake up here to what's going on. You know, the king has no clothes, you heard. I think that was from Hans Christian Andersen, correct? Yeah, I think so. Sotomayor used wise Latina line more than once. It came out today she used her ethnicity and gender as a weapon in 84 separate speeches released by the White House yesterday. Come on, she used her race and her gender, her ethnicity and her gender, rather. Ethnicity and gender? Well, yeah, okay, ethnicity and gender rather than race and sex. Plain English, she used her race and her sex in 84 speeches. In other words, she used it as a weapon. Wherever she went, she kept referring to it in order to make people squirm with liberal guilt. Sotomayor is not qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. I don't believe that her experience, her ethnicity and gender make her a racist at all. Not at all. I truly don't believe that. She came from a poor background. She worked her way up. Affirmative action no doubt helped her. It didn't help me. But the fact of the matter is it worked against me. And I have a real grudge against those who've used affirmative action to step over more qualified people. But putting aside my own biases, this woman is absolutely unqualified to be a Supreme Court justice. Because if she is going to use her emotions to shape her rulings, she is going to violate the rule of law. She does not belong on the Supreme Court. Not at all. 1-800-449-825. And I don't even want to talk about it. I mean, we covered it. You know, why cover it again? Obama's speech is such a disaster. It's one of the most disastrous speeches a president has ever given. Another mistake he made was he says, I am a Christian, but my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn and the fall of dusk. Now, I understand that because we talked about it during the campaign, and anyone who mentioned it during the campaign was a racist. Now, by the mere fact that he's now saying he's part Muslim and that he has a middle name Hussein, that certainly doesn't make him a racist, but it makes you a racist if you say it. So while watering down America's great status in the world, Chairman Obama continues to try to elevate his own status to that of a universal healing man, the man who will save the world. His story, his Muslim background, his father from Kenya, his childhood in Indonesia. Somehow that's more important than the greatness of America. This is not only naive, this is not only pandering, this is outright stupid. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The king has no queen. Where is Michelle Obama? Why didn't she go with her husband to the Middle East? When he gave his speech to the Muslim world the other day, Chairman O essentially said that all nations are equal. Listen to him. Play clips.
Human history has often been a record of nations and tribes and, yes, religions subjugating one another in pursuit of their own interests. Yet in this new age, such attitudes are self-defeating. Given our interdependence, any world order that elevates one nation or group of people over another will inevitably fail.
So all nations are equal, right? Well, then I'll ask the question again. Why did the First Lady Michelle Obama not accompany the president to Saudi Arabia and Egypt? Answer, because all nations are not equal. Because women are little more than chattel in these throwback nations. In Saudi Arabia, for example, women are forbidden to drive cars. Now, that's a thought. They're not allowed to work alongside men. That would go over very well in America. Saudi women are required to wear a full black cloak. That should go over well in West Hollywood. Women may not testify in court. Wow, that should go over well in the Supreme Court. Unless it is a personal matter that did not occur in the sight of men. Wow. Women cannot maintain separate bank accounts in Saudi Arabia without their husband's permission. And of course, women are not allowed to vote. Ah, now as I said, women must completely cover themselves in Saudi Arabia. Michelle's propensity for sleeveless tops to exhibit her muscular shoulders would not have been permitted in a land of veils and burqas. Chairman O didn't dare risk offending His Majesty the King of Saudi Arabia by bringing his beautiful wife to the land where the religion of peace started. And he didn't dare risk bringing her and making her wear a veil and exposing his hypocrisy for all the world to see. No, Mr. Obama, all nations are not equal. Thank you. Some just plain stink. Some oppress women, like Saudi Arabia. Some kill homosexuals, as in Iran. Some murder Christians, as in many other nations, including Iraq. Shame on you for going there and kowtowing to their leader. We don't need their oil as much as we need our integrity. We don't need their cooperation as much as we need our own initiative. We don't need their criticism as much as we have our own righteous indignation. So the rest of the world may not have noticed that the king had no queen, but Michael Savage did, and he also noticed that the emperor has no clothes. The mainstream media refuses to take the threat of North Korea, Iran, and Pakistan seriously. It seems like all our administration wants to do is appease, 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 and please. Joining us now is someone who knows a lot about those regions, as well as how we should be handling these threats. Retired Major General Jerry Curry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, hi, Michael. Thank you for inviting me today. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Tell us something about your background.
I was very fortunate. I was born into an absolutely great American family. My dad was a steel worker. My mother was a housewife. I had five siblings. My wife's father was a coal miner, a great guy, by the way, worked hard, did what Americans are supposed to do. And so with that kind of a background, I finished high school, went to work alongside my dad in a steel foundry. I was a welder, and he was a welder. We welded together. And while we were doing this, of course, something came along called the Korean War. And being in the town that I was in, because it probably wasn't all, but most red-blooded American boys back in those days, if there was a war going on, we considered it our war, and we went down and enlisted in the Army, or Air Force, or whatever it was. And so I went down with my friends. We enlisted in the service. Into the war I went, or rather into the Army I went. After about a couple of years, I had worked my way up through the ranks. I was a sergeant, and I was fortunate enough to be allowed to go to Officer Candidate School, Fort Benning, Georgia. Off I went. Went through that, became a second lieutenant, and the rest of it, of course, is I worked my way all the way up through to major general and then retired as rank of major general.
Well, how serious are these threats to the U.S.?
This is serious stuff. We really are facing some challenges that are unimaginable a few years down the road. The big problem that we've got with these challenges is that we have a president who has, I'm not dumping on our president. I want to be very clear about that. I'm not talking about being a Democrat or being a Republican. But this is the way it has lined up. He has no leadership experience. He hasn't even led a Boy Scout troop, and I don't mean that in denigrating him either. But he has no leadership experience. And so that means what? He's leading our nation with no leadership experience. He is a president, my judgment. He's over his head. His plan of governance seems to be to keep the nation and the news media so distracted talking about the failures of the Bush administration that the nation doesn't, and the news media doesn't notice the abysmal failure of his administration. And that problem really gives us another one that we have to handle, and that is we are for the first time in our history dealing with the Muslims in Iran. You know, in the past, for example, with the Russians, the Russians and their nuclear weapons, they knew if they bombed us or declared war on us or shot a missile at us, we were going to shoot back. Millions of Americans would be killed. Millions of Russians would be killed. And they didn't want that to happen, so they were very, very cautious about the way they went about handling nuclear weapons. Ahmadinejad last year said, if there is a nuclear war and nuclear exchange between Israel and between Iran, as long as every Jew is killed, that's fine with me. I am willing to sacrifice the entire nation of Iran to a nuclear destruction if, in the process, we kill all the Jews. And this is scary stuff. And to have a president who has no leadership training, no experience, no background running our country at this time means that we've got an awful lot on the line, and I don't know how this is going to come out, but I got to tell you, I pray that everything works and that we're not facing a disaster.
Why is the media giving Obama such a pass?
I don't know the answer to that. My guess is that what has really happened is the media has seen Reagan, two Bushes, eight years at a pop, well, at least for the second one. The first one only 4 years. But I think that the media has watched these people, and they're conservative, they're Republicans, and the media is not Republican. The media does not like conservatives, and I think the media has said to themselves, anything we can do to get a Democrat in the office, we will do it, and we will suck up to whoever we have to get them on board. They'll be our president, and we together will rule America.
Should we really fear North Korea's missiles?
They're right when they say that we have no direct threat to the United States today. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have it next year or the year after. But listen, there's another part of this. And the other part of this is if I were a Japanese living in Japan and I had this crazy, insane regime running North Korea, I would not be a very happy person. And my guess is that the South Koreans and the Japanese both of them understand how serious this is. And this guy is a nutcake. He could go off at any time and do the craziest things. And, you know, when that happens, you may not plan for it, you may not expect it, but he could very well start a nuclear race between all of these countries in Asia trying to defend themselves from this guy, and then you end up with proliferation of nuclear weapons everywhere.
What do we really know about the new Kim Jong?
We don't know much about him at all. I've been looking lately, you know, deliberately to see what do we have about this. We have very little. All we know is he was brought up by Daddy, and we pray he's not as crazy as Daddy, but my guess is he probably is.
Can we expect the leadership in Capitol Hill to protect us? I doubt it.
We don't have much of a choice. You know, the sad thing is I was listening earlier in the day to Obama's speech, and that's not the speech of a man who is determined to protect his country at all costs. It's a very weak speech, and I'm not trying to get off into that subject, but it's a very weak speech, and it's the kind of speech you expect from somebody who really doesn't feel very comfortable or doesn't feel very confident in the job that they have, which is President of the United States, of course. I am personally very, very distressed, and I can't say this strongly enough. I am very distressed with the Republican Party. I've been a Republican all my life. My father was a Republican before me. In the old days, we Republicans stood up, told the truth, did what had to be done, and made things happen. But today, as I look at Congress, at Capitol Hill, at the both sides of the House of Representatives and the Senate, I don't see any of that up there. I don't see the fire in these people for America. That is, we cared about America as I was growing up. I just don't see that in there. I get the feeling that everybody is just sort of weak. They're sort of limp. It's a vacuum, it appears to me. They only get fired up and excited when somebody starts talking about earmarks that affect them, of course. I would like to see across the board, not only in the President of the United States, but certainly in the Congress, I would just like to see some people who stand up and look the world in the face instead of making apologies, say, look, this nation has done more for this world than anybody else to bring peace on this earth, and we're going to continue to do it. And we want you to know if you get in the way, we're going to run over you.
General Curry, thanks for warning the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's what's on MichaelSavage.com. Obama's 10 mistakes in Cairo from the London Telegraph. He said Obama's speech in Cairo was quite a moment. I say a moment, but it lasted 56 minutes and contained more than 6,000 words, and it was filled with half-truths and lies. From the London Telegraph, Geert Wilders, who was banned from Britain because of his controversial views on Islam, won support from voters disenchanted with the growing influence of his nation's 800,000 Muslims, and his party has made big gains in the European Parliament election. You wouldn't read about that over here, just over there. From Reuters, Iran says sweet talk is not enough for Muslims. Really? I wonder what would be enough for him. Democracy seen threatened by new authoritarianism, says Reuters. China, Iran, Russia, and Venezuela form a clique of authoritarian states that use their wealth and influence to undermine global democracy and a rule of law, a study said today. Tell that to Obama. He thinks all nations are equal. From the Washington Times, Jimmy the anti-Semite Carter rates Cuba more peaceful than the United States. That's right. The U.S. is only 83rd on Jimmy's roster, according to the Institute for Economics and Peace, which is a commie front group that rated the relative tranquility of 144 nations according to 23 indicators, including how much they give to Jimmy Carter? No, I don't think so. From the New York Times, a puff piece on women in science, but if you read it carefully, you come to this conclusion. Science dies as men are pushed out for less qualified women. Oops. Wesley Pruden, Washington Times. He says the inner Muslim of Obama's was at work in Cairo. From Reuters, British Prime Minister seeks to save his government with a reshuffle. Well, you can only reshuffle the Joker so many times, Mr. Brown. From Bloomberg News, Microsoft to move jobs overseas if the Obama tax plan passes. It's unbelievable, but the CEO of Microsoft said it makes U.S. jobs more expensive, and we're better off taking lots of people and moving them out of the United States as opposed to keeping them inside the U.S. and being taxed to death. Won't liberals ever learn? From the AP, two U.S. journalists standing trial in North Korea. They're accused of illegal entry and hostile acts. They could go to a labor camp for 10 years. Now, that's a thought. Where are the libs on this one? From ABC News, the emergence of Obama's Muslim roots. Remember, during the campaign, we weren't allowed to say Hussein? Now he's glorifying the name Hussein. Anyone who said Hussein during the campaign was called a racist. Now Obama is saying the word Hussein. That wouldn't make him a racist, though, would it? From the New York Post, take a look at the picture of the king giving bling to Obama. Looks like a rap star, not a president. Regular listeners to the Savage Nation know that I care about issues concerning the conservation of wild animals. From time to time, an issue will come up that I think is important to take a look at. A while back, I had A.J. Cady, the Deputy Director of Programs of the International Fund for Animal Welfare, on the show to talk about an elephant rescue that they had planned. He joins us now for an update. A.J. Cady, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on again. Really appreciate it.
Remind my listeners about your planned elephant rescue.
What's happening is the International Fund for Animal Welfare is working with the government of Malawi to move about 60 elephants, which are right now threatened with death, because what's happening is local communities are using things like snares or shooting to kill these elephants because they're in an area where humans have moved into elephant habitat. The situation is really desperate because there have been people killed by elephants and also the local villagers killing the elephants themselves. And so the government has said if the animals can't be moved, that they'd have to be killed. And so we've been appealing for funds through our website, which is ifaw.org, to raise the money to evacuate these guys, these families, into a protected park in Malawi.
And we are rapidly approaching the date you have to move these elephants?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've had a few delays because of weather, but I just was talking to our folks, and it looks like the move should start this weekend, Saturday or Sunday. They're just getting ready. They've been up in the air just today. We've confirmed that we know where the families are. And so what they'll do is they'll start to clear some paths into the area. And if all goes well, we might have our first family collected up this weekend.
Well, it's not just that their habitats are shrinking, but they face great danger from poachers as well, right?
They certainly do. Elephants are under attack all over the world. These are an endangered species. And the problem that we've got is that they're still allowing some limited trade in elephant ivory. And what you see whenever that happens is poaching increases. So in the case of the elephants in Malawi that we're moving, that's mostly an issue of their habitat. But just yesterday we got a report of at least 20 elephants that were killed by poachers up in Kenya. And that's one of the most effectively protected areas in all of Africa. So we really need to move as fast as we can on saving these animals. It's a real crisis.
This is not a left-wing or right-wing issue. It's protecting the lives of these majestic creatures.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that's the one thing. One of the things that can really unite us is our love and care for these animals. It's not about left or right, political, you know, Republican or Democrat. It's a really simple issue of having a planet where these other animals have a place to live and enrich our lives. And it really does benefit, not just ecologically, but there's huge ecotourism industries around these things. It's an amazing, amazing opportunity for everybody to come together. And that's what we're seeing. I should also mention, if people want to see learn some more, and even see some live footage, you know, things that are being taken, the video we're taking any day, they can go to the website, which is ifaw.org. They can see photos, they can see video, and I really hope that people will make a donation in whatever amount they can afford, because this really is a case of one time where your donation can literally mean the difference between life and death.
Where is the major demand for elephant ivory coming from? No doubt Asia.
Well, the major demand for the ivory is in Japan and in China. But frankly, we all bear some responsibility on it, because at the end of the day, if the United States exerted stronger leadership saying we want a complete ban in all ivory trade, we could stop this. You know, right now we have a partial ban, and there's an incredible amount of work being done, but they're using, you know, it's the usual. They're using loopholes in the regulations, and what we really need is to come together, people all over the world, and say, enough is enough. These animals are highly endangered, and whenever we allow trade in them, it just gives cover for poaching.
AJ, Katie, good luck with the move, and thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for your support in the past, and thank all of your listeners, and really encourage them to visit the website anyways, because it's just such a great story.
This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.